Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? You done? You can shout for joy again. We can shout for joy many times in a day, for we are so blessed. There are too many good and glorious things happening to us. Can you shout for joy with me again? When I woke up this morning, I was still meditating on the Lord as my Savior. He loves me and died for me. He saved me from sin. I was the slave of sin, but now I'm the Prince of God. I can sit with the Lord in heaven. What an amazing salvation. I was thinking I was a slave, but now I'm set free. The chains of sin had gone. I feel so easy, and I'm filled with the freedom of joy and glory. The Lord is not just a Savior, the glorious Emancipator. He has set my spirit free. There is no binding of sin anymore. I have set free from my bad habits, the lust. I'm living in a carefree and worry-free life for Him. I can enjoy the happiness of freedom. I can enjoy the ability to overcome sin. Well, it's truly the glorious salvation. It is the glorious freedom. The Lord has saved us gloriously. Not only can we overcome sin, we have departed from the sinful life. Hence, we know whom we believe is true. The Savior is one. Just as in Psalm 18 mentioned, the God who equipped me with strength and make my way blameless. Let us shout for joy. Lord, I give thanks that we are sinners no more, and now we become the children of God. Hallelujah! Shall we sing this hymn, Glorious Freedom? We will sing it boastfully. Once I was bound by single fetters, chained like a slave, I struggle in vain. But I receive a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in train. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious Emancipator, now and forever He shall be mine. Freedom from all the kind old affections, freedom from every hatred and strife, freedom from vain and worldly ambitions, freedom from all that sadden my life. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious Emancipator, now and forever He shall be mine. Freedom from pride and so sinful follies, freedom from love and glitter of gold, freedom from evil, temper and anger, glorious freedom, rapture and toll. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus and glorious Emancipator, now and forever He shall be mine. I hope you have time to draw near the Lord personally, or you can sing another song to worship the Lord. Let's come before Him face to face. You can stop the recording and we'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we'll read in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 7, verse 24 to 37. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And she said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon hath left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he signed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." When we read chapter 6, which was the previous chapter, we already knew the Lord Jesus was getting more popular and more people believed in him. He has a good reputation, even it has spread to King Herod. In Gospel according to Mark chapter 6, verse 14, King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. That is to say, what the Lord Jesus did and his reputation has spread to the upper class, and there were some conflicts of interest for some people, especially the so-called religionists, the Pharisees and scribes. Thus, as you can see in the beginning of the Gospel according to Mark chapter 7, there was a group of hypocritical Pharisees and scribes who came from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the center of Jewish religion. They came to Galilee to challenge Jesus in person, for they liked to grasp the opportunities and excuses to accuse Jesus and destroyed his work. Hence, the first half of the Gospel according to Mark chapter 7, which is from verse 1 to 23, it was their conversation with the Lord. The Lord Jesus also rebuked them for only hanging on to the traditions of the elders. They pretend to be godly. In fact, they were hypocrites. It has shown what the Lord Jesus values is the heart of man and his relationship with God. The Lord Jesus quoted verses in Isaiah. Verse 6 of this chapter tells us what were their hearts like. It mentioned, "And he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." It is a good reminder to us. Our relationships with God comes from the heart, but not outwardly. All the works and expressions of love must be sincere and genuine. Otherwise, you are like the Pharisees who were hypocritical. And the verses we will read today is in the second half of the Gospel according to Mark chapter 7, from verse 24 to 37. It mentioned the Lord Jesus set out from there to go to the territory of Tyre and Sidon, where it was the place of Lake Gennesaret in Galilee. Tyre and Sidon are just north of Galilee and in the territory of Cilicia, which is Babylon in the modern time. During the time of Jesus, Most of the people living in Tyre and Sidon were Gentiles worshipping false gods. In the book of Isaiah mentioned these places. It said these places was cursed by God. Hence, it was truly unbelievable for Jesus to go to the land of Gentiles. However, have you ever thought that even the people in Tyre and Sidon knew about Jesus? As you can imagine, how far the reputation of the Lord Jesus spread. Yet, there is one thing that I should let you know, that it is at least 60 kilometers for Jesus to go from Lake Gennesaret to Tyre. It would take 2 or 3 days if you walk fast. I meditate on the fact that these days happened to be the days when the Lord Jesus lived with the disciples. They were not so busy and could take rest, unlike in Galilee before where there were so many people surrounding them. These resting times were also the time for the disciples to be trained. It was a good opportunity for them to hear more of the words of the Lord and learn how to live with the Lord. I believe it was also unforgettable for the disciples. They may have asked Jesus along the way why they went to preach the words of God in foreign places. I guess the Lord Jesus would also explain to them the word of God. The gospel is preached to all nations. The Gentiles can also be saved through faith. In the gospel, according to Mark chapter 7, verse 25 to 26, it mentioned a woman who was Gentile. Her daughter had an unclean spirit, for she heard about Jesus. So she came to ask Jesus to heal her daughter and cast away those unclean spirits. I meditate on why the Lord Jesus went to Tyre. While reading these verses, I believe one of the main reasons was that the Lord Jesus make a special trip to help this woman and save her daughter. In the Gospel, according to Matthew chapter 15, this woman was a Canaanite. She cried out, "O Lord, Son of David." Hence, we know this Canaanite woman who knew the Lord Jesus a bit, for she knew that the Lord Jesus was the Son of David. There is a significant meaning of Son of David. It refers to the anointed one who is the Christ sent by God and sits on the throne of David. This daughter of Canaanite was demon-possessed, who was proof that she worshipped false gods, who she believed could not help her. There was nothing she could do, and this was her daughter. I believe she must be miserable and felt guilty as well. These unclean spirits whom she believed in disturbing her daughter. Jesus came to the territory of Tyre and Sidon. The Lord was her hope. I believe this woman came to see Jesus with great courage, because Jesus was a Jew, and this woman called the Lord Jesus as Lord, the Son of David. Surely she was under a lot of pressure, since she went against her own clan and gave up her own beliefs. It was never easy for her to come to Jesus. Yet she so loved her daughter, and she believed that Jesus was her only hope. She begged Jesus and came to him with faith. As you can see, she was full of confidence from her speech. Even the Lord Jesus praised her faith. It wasn't mentioned in these verses, but in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, the Lord said, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." First of all, I was touched by the faith of this woman. Truly, I like to encourage everyone and myself. Don't look at the environment and do not be afraid. As long as our motives are pure and we have a heart to trust in God and believe in the Lord, we don't have to care about other people's opinions. Even if we are in difficulties, let us exercise our faith to strive forward bravely and to do what God likes us to do. The Lord will reward us, those who trust in him, and will never be put to shame. The Bible mentioned that the Lord Jesus intended to humiliate the Canaanite woman through his words. It is true that the Jews did treat Gentiles like dogs, but the statement in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 7 verse 27 is surely not an insult. What the Lord Jesus meant was that the Gospel was first preached to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus did that as well. He started in his own place, in the place of the Jews, in his homeland, and told God's message to his countrymen first. Then he came to Tyre and Sidon and preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Shall we read again in chapter 7, verse 27? And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Therefore, the focus was to feed the children first, and next was the dog. What does the dog mean? It was a puppy, not the stray dog like that on the street, and these puppies are like pets in the house. Jesus emphasized on the issue of sequence, rather than insulting the woman. The Lord Jesus appreciated much of the woman and praised her faith. Why? For this woman admits that she was a Gentile under God's covenant, for he was not from the house of Israel. Seemed like a puppy in a house waiting under the table for its owner to give it food. On the other hand, this woman also expressed her faith in God. She believed that God would have mercy on her and give grace upon her. Hence, she would accept the crumbs and she would treasure them. When Jesus heard her response, he admired her faith and praised her great faith. In verse 29 mentioned, and he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon had left your daughter." Do you know? My heart was shocked when I read this verse. For the Lord Jesus did not meet the demon face to face and scold them and cast them away. The Lord Jesus could cast away demons remotely. How awesome was his ability! The Lord Jesus did not need to heal people physically. The Lord Jesus does not need to cast out demons in person. The Lord Jesus is real. He is the only true God. And the most precious thing about him is that he is full of compassion, love, and gentleness. Yet, he is almighty. In the Gospel according to Mark chapter 7 verse 31 was about this incident. And after that, the Lord Jesus left Tyre. And I don't know what the future life of this mother and daughter would be like. Apart from having happiness and joy, I believe they would all bear witness for the Lord. Definitely, their experience would be a great influence to the Gentiles to know the true God and forsake the idols. The Lord Jesus left the territory of Tyre and passed through Sidon. Then he returned to Galilee. As you can see, the Lord Jesus traveled north and then circled back to the territory of Israel. Therefore, I firmly believe that the Lord Jesus went to Tyre specifically and then returned via Sidon. I felt the love for seeking and the Lord's deepest personal love to every individual. And followed by in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 7 verse 32 to 37 was another incident. The Lord Jesus healed a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. That is to say, a man who couldn't hear anything and his speech wasn't clear, who seemed to be dumb with slurred speech. The Lord Jesus healed him with a special method. And there was one thing that was so special. This miracle was written only in the Gospel according to Mark, which other Gospel books have no recording. I'm not going to explain this passage of the Bible in detail. Yet, I'd like to suggest some points for your meditation. First of all, someone brought this man to see Jesus. They wanted Jesus to lay his hand on him. But did Jesus do that? No. It was not the method of man. He did it in his own way. Did the Lord Jesus heal him? Yes, but the Lord healed this man in his own way. And there was a special meaning in the way he healed this man, which we may not understand. but it must be the most beneficial to that person and to the whole matter. So we all have to bear in mind that the Lord will answer our prayers, but it may not necessarily according to our will. The Lord has His will, His time, and His way. All we have to do is to trust and pray to the Lord continually. In verse 33, and taking him aside from the crowd privately, I felt the gentleness of the Lord Jesus. This person was deaf. It might be necessary to make gestures in order to communicate with him and to take him aside from the crowd. I believe the Lord Jesus would hold him with his hand. Then why did the Lord Jesus took him away from the crowd? I think the main purpose was to make his heart be peaceful. For it is not peaceful for a deaf who sees your mouth moving but cannot hear you. And the Lord Jesus took him away from the crowd. The Lord Jesus could communicate with him face to face. He put his fingers into his ears and after speaking touched his tongue. I may not know the reason. You can ask the Lord what it meant in the coming days. And it is worth paying attention and meditating is verse 34. It mentioned the Lord Jesus looking up to heaven and sighed. That's the action which the Lord Jesus normally did. He looked up to the heaven and prayed to God to draw close to the Father. The Bible recorded that the Lord Jesus looked up to heaven to bless and to give thanks. And it said here, looking up to heaven and sighed. So we know the Lord Jesus, there is a direction in his heart. He is facing and looking at his Father. His spiritual eyes can see Abba. Brothers and sisters, we all need to have a direction and we shall focus on the Lord. To look includes the thinking. We shall always think of the Lord in glory. We shall think of him. The Lord himself and his heart towards us are the focus of our spirits. In addition, it mentioned signing. Don't ever think the Lord has the negative expression. This signing means to express sympathy and pity. In the letter to Romans, chapter 8, verse 26 mentioned, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. It's so precious, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is so disappointed in us and mourning for us. He is compassionate to us. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. He will pray for our weaknesses. This verse in the Bible mentions that the Lord Jesus looked up to heaven and sighed. He talked to the man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. As you can see that the Lord Jesus was full of mercy. He was so considerate and affectionate and said to the man, Apophah. What does Apophah mean? This verse has explained that means opened. That is to say, opened and passed. The opened ears can hear the sound. The tongue is no longer tied and entangled. The power of the Lord Jesus is so awesome. Hallelujah! The man could hear. The most precious thing is that he could later hear the Lord's voice and his teachings and his words. Hallelujah! This person can speak fluently. I believe the most precious is that he could praise God. He could be grateful and he could preach to others what the Lord Jesus has done in him. Brothers and sisters, we are all people who have been released by the Lord spiritually. We're no longer deaf and have speech impediments. We can enjoy the voice of the Lord and his words. Rightly, we shall preach loudly, in order the people can know the love of God and his power in us. Lastly, I have a question for you to think about. When did this person hear? Was it after he heard Apophah or after Apophah was said, and he couldn't hear Apophah yet? Why don't you tell me your opinion and let me know? You can leave me a message. Last but not least, remember, the most essential is the time when you're face to face with the Lord personally and draw close to him. Don't miss this precious moment. Just listening to my sharing doesn't mean that you have drawn near to the Lord. I leave the time to you to come to the Lord. May the Lord bless you.